Astral Travel brings you another entry from the personal journal of Vince Washburn, New Age Detective. Today's episode, If You've Got the Time.
Morning, boss.
Morning, Sheridan.
Boss, you seem a little down in the frown. What's not up?
I hate courtrooms, you know that?
So, which trial were you a witness for today?
Oh, it was that Lopez reincarnation insurance fraud deal.
And?
The Wolverine lost.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. Mostly for him. They're releasing him back to the wild in Glacier Park next week.
Damn, those insurance guys are such bozos.
I thought we were all bozos, Sheridan.
Speaking of which, James Knox is in your office waiting for you.
Oh, holy socks, Sheridan. You left that kid alone with electronics?
Gee, Mr. Washburn, I didn't know it could do this. August!
Get all the smoke, Sheridan. We need a fire extinguisher in here. What did you do, Jimmy?
I was just trying to use a paperclip to get out a disc, just like you did, and it started to smoke. I thought it was on fire, so I threw that glass of water on it, and then it started making all those noises.
Okay, don't panic. First, let's unplug it, okay?
Is it gonna be okay, Mr. Washburn?
Oh, I don't know. Right now, I'd say it's dead, Jim.
I'll call that computer lady. What's her name?
It's in your Rolodex under homeopathy.
Homeopathic electronic repair. How's that done?
I really don't know. Something about enhancing the symptoms.
What?
Jimmy, what do you suppose are some appropriate words to say over deceased technology?
I don't know.
Well, let's see. Church of the Positive Attitude. Here it is. Okay, here, you read this page.
Okay. Good overall design. We commend to your care this boat anchor, once so powerful, now so still. Let this significant interruption in this smooth flow of our business.
So, it didn't begin as the best day of my life, but then someone once said, life is what happens when you have other plans. I left Jimmy learning his lesson and went back into the outer office, just as she came in through the front door and into my life.
Excuse me, is this the detective's office?
At the word detective, I looked up at her and all seven chakras collided in my throat. There was something so unbelievably wholesome and appealing about her, I just couldn't help myself. Of course we'll take your case, and a reduced fee, too.
Boss!
I stood there with my heart doing a triathlon and feeling like all I had on was a stupid grin and a digital watch.
I beg your pardon?
This is Vince Washburn, the personal investigator. Whom shall I say is calling?
Oh, my name is Drew Barry.
Is there more?
More what?
Mr. Washburn, I believe you have a few minutes to talk with Miss Barry. I'll let you know when your next appointment is here.
Thank you, Sheridan. Won't you come into my office, Miss Barry?
Certainly.
Please pardon the smell. We had a little accident here this morning. Miss Barry, this is Jimmy Knox. Get out, Jimmy.
I'm pleased to meet you, Jimmy.
Holy smoke, Mr. Washburn, she's gorgeous.
I think we've had quite enough smoke for one day, Jimmy. And it's not polite to comment on the unimaginable beauty of strangers.
I'll bet she's no stranger than you are, Mr. Washburn.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now get out. You can go play a Sheridan's commuter now, okay?
Oh, okay. Bye.
So you know something about computers, Mr. Washburn?
Please, call me Vince. Everyone does.
All right, Vince. And please call me Drew.
Thank you. What can I Drew for you, do?
Well, I need you to find my brother.
Did you lose him?
Yeah, well, he sort of lost himself.
Really? Why don't you tell me the story behind all this, and I'll see what I can do.
Thank you. My brother is an inventor. He has a small basement laboratory over near the river. He's been working on something he says is very big for several months. Just recently, there was a time when his family, didn't hear from him, and then suddenly he was back and very excited.
And you found this unusual?
Well, yes. My brother has often been ridiculed by the scientific community for his inventions. They have called him a crackpot and a charlatan, Mr. Washburn. Vince... My brother is a proud and dedicated man. He was very hurt by this kind of talk about his work.
Ah, yes, and his hurt manifests as anger.
How perceptive of you, Vince. Yes, he is a very angry researcher.
So, your brother is a mad scientist, is he?
I wouldn't have said it in quite those terms, but those are essentially the facts, yes.
Are you married, Drew?
Well, no, I'm not. Why do you ask?
Ask what?
If I'm married.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, well, sorry. Can you tell me what your brother was working on that would draw such a strong response from him?
I'm not sure that I can. He became very secretive about his work. He'd only say things like, "It's about time somebody invented one of these," or, "In time, they'll recognize the value of my invention." And he'd say it in just that funny way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you show me his laboratory, Drew?
I can take you there, but I don't know if I can get you in.
Well, we'll have to figure that out when we get there. Write down the address here, and I can meet you there this afternoon, say about 2 o'clock?
All right, 2 o'clock then. Thank you, Vince.
It's quite all right. I look forward to seeing you again.
Wow, she's really beautiful, isn't she, Mr. Washburn?
Oh, isn't she? I suppose by commercial standards she is.
You're drooling, boss.
Sheridan, would you get Harriet Garfield Grand on the phone for me, please? We're going to visit an inventor's lab this afternoon.
Oh, can I come too, Mr. Washburn, please?
I suppose so, Jimmy, but you have to promise not to touch anything that has switches on it.
Oh, you bet, Mr. Washburn.
Sheridan, ask Harriet to meet us here about 1 o'clock. We're looking for a mad scientist.
Really?
This was the beginning, and it was beginning to look like just the kind of case I needed to keep me out of the foul mood I was in when I showed up this morning. A missing person, a beautiful sister, and a secret science lab. A very beautiful sister. Yeah, I was looking forward to seeing her again, and I hoped many times after this little job was done. In previous episodes, some hard lessons had taught me to trust my intuition. When Drew Barry told me her story, a little voice in my head said, "Harriet Garfield Grand." I hadn't been able to hear that voice at first over my own throbbing heartbeat, but over dessert, something with berries in it, my pulse slowed and I had to take notice. Harriet was a psychic and a channeler for a number of people in the past. We had worked together on cases before. I had no idea why Harriet should play a part in this caper, but when her name came right to left across the hemispheres in my brain, I knew better than to ignore it. Miss Barry, this is Harriet Garfield Grand.
I'm pleased to meet you, Harriet.
Vince has told me so much about you, Miss Barry.
Is that so? But he doesn't know anything about me.
That's the impression I got, too. But he does have a vivid imagination, and that can make up for a lot of missing facts.
Where is your brother's lab, Drew?
It's right down here.
Okay.
See? Mm-hmm. It has this electric lock.
Oh, boy.
This looks like a job for my library card.
Jimmy, We haven't got time to go and look anything up now.
Not that way. This way.
Oh, how did you do that?
Well, I don't know. I saw it in a comic book. See, this newspaper guy was being chased by Professor Nuclear, and he was trying to get away, see?
We'll listen to that later, Jimmy, okay? Let's go, Vince.
You can turn up the light right inside the door, I think.
Turn up the light.
It looked like a pretty ordinary office to me. An old desk and filing cabinets, a shelf with a few physics and electronics books, stacks of computer printouts, the old wide fanfold kind with green bars and tractor holes. Nothing looked out of place, no sign of a search or a struggle. Drew, how long has it been since... Wow, where'd she go?
Through that door.
It must be the lab.
Drew, where's the light in here?
I've got it.
In the middle of a large room stood a strange machine. It looked like a cross between a neon jukebox and a NASA toilet seat.
Whoa! It's a time machine!
How do you know?
I saw it in the comic book.
He's right, Vince. It is a time machine. It looks all new and shiny, but it has an aura of age around it. It feels like it's a steam engine wearing a clever plastic disguise.
Uh-oh. Drew, she must be inside that thing.
Careful, Vince.
Please, close the door. You've got to let me go.
Go? Go where?
Home.
Home?
So, things are not what they seem.
Home? I would have given you a ride.
I don't think so, Vince. She's not from around these parts. Just a minute ago, she said, turn up the light. People haven't said it that way since we switched to electricity from gas.
Really? Are you from up north?
No. No, actually, I live a few blocks from here, but I can't get home without this machine.
You're from the future?
No, Jimmy, I'm from the past.
The past? What are you doing here?
I'm trying to save Gerard.
Is he in trouble?
Gerard? Is that your brother?
They'll kill him if I don't get back.
Can we help?
I don't know. There just isn't much time.
Why not? We have a time machine. If it works, we should have all the time in the world.
Why are they going to kill him?
Wait a minute. This is going too fast. We need to slow down, sort out all the feelings first, and then put the pieces together carefully. Let's all go into the other room and have some tea, and let Drew tell us the whole story in her own way.
Are we going to go back in time?
Not we, Jimmy, but we are going to try to send Drew back with whatever she came here for.
Oh, thank you, Harriet.
So, Drew, tell us what this is all about.
I don't know where to begin or what you already know.
It's okay to tell us things we already know. And besides, somebody probably tuned in late and doesn't know what happened so far anyway.
We know that Gerard is your brother, that he's stuck in the past, being held by someone who wants you to bring something back from the future before they'll let him go.
That's right. They want me to bring them details of some inventions and business events in their future so they can make money from it.
When are we talking about here? When in our past?
Well, Gerard and I went back to the turn of the century about 2 years ago. We've been living then and coming back here to do more research and work on this machine every so often. Then these men found out about his machine and wanted to pervert the purity of science for their own greed. The year I left was 1905.
Ah, so we want to steer them away from Henry Ford and Thomas Edison.
How did they find out that you were from the future?
Well, we were buying materials and equipment from them. They accidentally saw his machine and somehow knew right away what it was.
Oh, just like Jimmy did, right, Jim? Uh-oh. Where is he?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, more smoke. He's alone with the machine. Uh-oh, he's gone back into the past.
Maybe not. I was just trying to adjust the controls when you dragged me out of the machine. I don't know what time they were set for.
Oh, so he could be anywhen.
Oh, dear, it was supposed to be so easy. Just jump forward, pick up some things from a library, and go back. Now it's all a mess, and we've lost an innocent boy.
It's not your fault, Drew, and Jimmy isn't all that innocent. He's always doing this kind of thing.
Oh, but he's still lost.
I wonder what effect that's going to have on the present.
God.
You know, I've gone along with this time machine stuff because it worked. But I can't see how this is done with technology. Oh, sure, there's some modern physics that said it might be possible to time travel. But that's all theoretical quantum babble and fritch off Capricorn. It just goes against the laws of science.
Do you mean what we know of the laws of science or the true laws, Vince?
True laws?
Yes, the true laws of the universe. We're only human and we don't fully understand everything, but that's exactly what is possible. We should expect a miracle.
Whoa, he's back. It must have gone forward in time, only a couple of minutes.
Open the door.
Yes. Oh, let's get him out of there.
Jimmy, are you all right? What's so funny?
It tickles.
What does?
Traveling in time tickles. It does the same thing to me. Every time I ride in the machine, it makes my ribs tingle, so.
Makes your ribs tingle?
And it's very, very powerful until the machine stops, and it lasts only a minute or so.
Ribs.
Vince, you come back here.
What? Sorry.
Now look, we have a job to do. We need to assess our position, formulate our alternatives, and assign our action steps.
Harriet, That's the most linear thing I've ever heard you say.
It's a tool, Vince. Just a tool.
Well, you're right on, as usual, my friend. And I've got an idea. Jimmy, have you still got your library card?
Well, sure, Mr. Washburn.
Well, good. Then let's lock this place up tight and break for a commercial. We've got some investigative work to do.
What? What do you mean?
Jimmy, you really had us scared for a while there.
Me too.
Well, I don't want you to ever do something like that again, okay? My nerves, not to mention my insurance policy, just won't take that kind of excitement anymore.
We'll be back to Vince Washburn, New Age Detective, right after these words.
Yes. Are you bothered by the ethical contradictions of ecotourism? Are you at the stage in your life process where you want a vacation that's less rigorous and more spiritual? Well, at Astral Travel, our out-of-body vacations are guaranteed
Aldo,
to be
can
completely
we skip the ads,
unique
please?
And absolutely guilt-free. Areas travel at out-of-body solvent. You'll remember for several lifetimes. Thank you.
And now, back to Vince Washburn, the New Age detective, in If You've Got the Time.
Harriet Garfield Grand was naturally right about several things. I was insanely attracted to Drew Barry, the woman from out of time, and a big part of me didn't want to help her go back to her brother. But who could know what the present might be like if we let these unscrupulous crooks interfere with the commerce at the turn of the century? The wrong people might get rich off suffering and exploitation of others, instead of the ones that did. Harriet was also right about the way to go about it, so Jimmy and I used his library card to go through the history of business and real estate around 1905. We found a few things that might be of use. Harriet, in the meantime, used her own resources to do some research in a similar vein.
Okay, Vince, I think I found the right people to talk to. I've got it written down here with personal and business contacts in the San Francisco area.
Harriet, I know Vince and Jimmy went to the library, but where did you get your information?
Why, where I always do. I logged on to the outer net.
Is that like the internet, a computer connection?
Yes, Jimmy, the outer net is a computer connection with the dead. It's really the cutting edge of supernatural technology.
Of course. Jimmy and I found a book on the history of the Bay Area around 1910. I never thought I would be advising anyone to get into the insurance business, but there you are. I think we can convince them that this would be a lucrative business to insure nearly every building in the downtown and waterfront areas of San Francisco in, like, 1905 or 06, just before the earthquake.
But I thought you said it was dangerous to change the past.
Well, we're not changing it. We're just sort of stepping into it sideways, making a difference which is no difference.
Oh, I just don't understand any of this.
Well, the point is that nobody really understands what time is or how it works or what we might do to affect it, so all we can do is be careful, whatever that is.
Is that what you were trying to say, Harriet?
I have no idea, but it's a truth.
The real point is that we want to steer the bad guys away from anything that will succeed. So we show them things from, say, 1920 that indicate Dr. Lee DeForest was very successful as the father of radio, and they could make lots of money by investing in his companies very early in his career. And then we leave out the part about his several bankruptcies and the swindles and the lawsuits, and we hope that teaches them a lesson without changing the normal course of history as we see it now.
Oh, I do hope all this is going to work.
We have reason to believe that it will, dear.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful to you both.
Hey, what about me?
Yes, and to you too, Jimmy.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I think we've got everything ready now, and it's time to move forward. Or backward.
As the case may be. Come on, Drew. In you go.
Yes, I'll be sure to tell my fiancé how much help you've been.
Fiancé?
Uh-oh. Somehow, I knew this was coming.
What?
Gerard isn't your brother, is he?
Fiance?
No, Gerard and I are engaged to be married. I really am from the past. And we met when he came to do research at the university where I teach. We've been working together on it since we met.
Wow.
But the rest of the story is true.
Fiance?
We know that, Drew, and we still want to help save Gerard.
Fiance? Oh, confusion, helplessness, anger, and jealousy.
That's right, Vince. Stay with the feelings. Identify them. Sort them out. Then we need you to help us.
Harriet? How are you doing this?
Graphic equalizers, I think.
No, I mean, how are you...
Vince, it's not important how. Your hormones are getting in the way of our work.
Ouch! What did you do that for?
You were elsewhere. We needed you here. I deduced that an act of desperation was the only solution. It was a logical conclusion, logically arrived at.
That's coprolite, Harriet.
Perhaps. But you are now back here for the moment, and we need you.
What for?
He's not really very good with technology, Jimmy, but he does know his research, and we need all the help we can get to find out if this plan will work.
Well, how will you know if it works?
Maybe we won't.
As near as we can tell, if it does work, time will change everything leading up to this point, and we'll remember a different past than the one we do now. So we probably won't remember this case.
Which means I should probably get my $300 a day plus expenses before you go.
Vince.
And if it doesn't work, we'll still have the history we've always had.
Well, come on now. I think it's time.
Well, from what I've learned, it's always time. It's just a human invention without any reality except what we give it.
That sounds like the human condition, Drew. Drew, I need to tell you that part of me wants this to work, knowing that if it does, I'll probably forget everything about you. And another part of me wants to remember you for the rest of my life. I know I can't have both, and I know I have no control over which one I get. I feel very sad and angry because of that.
Oh, you've been very kind, Vince. I do appreciate all you've done and how you feel about me.
Hey, I feel about you too, or I would if they let me get my hand.
You already had your mushy sound effect, Jimmy. Let's get this thing closed up now.
Goodbye, Vince.
Goodbye, Drew. Well, so far I still remember her. What do you suppose that means?
I don't know, Vince.
Harriet, I'm sorry for being such a dork on this caper. I guess I hope I didn't just get in the way too much.
Not too much.
I guess it was a serious opportunity for personal growth that I just wasn't expecting. Oh, excuse me, I think that's mine. Hello? Oh, yeah? Well, okay. Keep it for us. We'll be back soon. Right. Goodbye. And thanks. That was Sheridan back at the office.
And what addition to the final act does he offer?
Well, it seems some delivery guy has just dropped off a package with a key in it.
Really? Let me guess. The key was left to you by someone around the turn of the century.
Really?
That's right. It was the key for a safe deposit box at the only bank downtown that has been in the same place for 100 years. Anybody want to go see what's in it?
Yes.
Boy, I sure didn't expect this case to turn out like this.
Yes, little did you know at the time.
Little do I know even now. Harriet, I'm not ready for this to end yet.
I know, Vince, but let her go. Grieve. Feel the feelings. Right to the end. Only then will you be ready for a new beginning.
The beginning? You mean there's going to be another episode?
Sometime, Jimmy.
Yeah, some time.
Astral Travel has brought you If You've Got the Time, another entry from the personal journal of Vince Washburn, New Age Detective. Join us again next time when Vince meets adventure in the form of a beautiful woman.
Oh, God. Can't we please have a big, ugly guy next time? Please?
When Vince meets adventure in the form of a grotesque troll in an episode called I'd Like to Do That When I Come to My Senses.
Until then, don't be so hard on yourselves, okay?
Thank you.